When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to All Stats Aren't We, a podcast in which Leeds fans cast their combined eye over goings-on at Elland Road, giving scrutiny to the underlying statistics and tactical footings at work at Leeds United. I'm Adam Elliott and I'm joined today by Martin Riley and Will Clay. Will, how are you again, buddy?
Good. Tired. Wednesday social yesterday. I socialed quite hard, so I'm lacking on the sleep. But apart from that, I had a good time.
Wednesday social? It was Valentine's Day.
Well, you know, I wasn't even going to go out. And then one of my mates, oh, come to the pub. And then pub turns into town and town turns into going to bed too late, basically.
Yeah, it does sound like a classic person in their early 20s. Martin, how are you, bud?
I'm doing good. My last night was nowhere near as eventful as Will's. I played a bit of games till around midnight and then went to sleep. But yeah, I've not eaten yet today because I was dragged into this quite last minute. It was meant to be my night off, but as ever, I'm always willing to help the podcast, so I'm here.
He's like the James Milner of podcasting, just willing to put in the work, whichever position he's deployed in. Yep,
exactly.
That is Martin Riley. What did you eat tonight, both of you? I'll start with you, Martin.
I've not eaten yet, but I'm going to be having chicken in white sauce with mashed potato after this.
Lovely. And Will?
I also haven't eaten, but I'm going to do some potatoes chopped up in the air fryer, and I got some southern fried chicken strips that I'm going to eat.
I had a lovely meatball pasta. I made my own sauce as well, so aren't I good? Hey, It was very nice, actually. Yeah, a little bit of spice, and it was good. But yes, we are here today to talk about Plymouth Argyle again, who we play for the fourth and final time this season on Saturday at Home Park, unless for some reason they somehow finish sixth in the playoffs, we finish third, and there's a small, like 0.1% chance that could happen. It's not going to happen. But anyway, it should be the final time we play them. But before we get into it, is there anything to discuss with regards to the news? I think there is. There's an unfortunate piece of news, isn't there? Which we're probably going to know a bit more about tomorrow. We're recording on Thursday and Daniel Farke's press conference is on Friday. And he'll tell us a bit more about Patrick Bamford's injury. But who wants to talk about how sad we are?
Yeah, it was maybe hoping that he was going to be able to keep it up till the end of the season, but I think it was what's going to happen, that he's going to pick up an injury. Hopefully it's not too much of a long one. I think it will be fine if it's just maybe more precaution than anything. Like you said, we'll find out tomorrow from Papa if it is a bad one or if it was just more of a precaution while they took him out. But I wouldn't mind it if it was only a few games at least that he was missing, any more than that, and then it could be an issue for us in the running.
Yeah, Will, how do you think it's going to affect us going forward if it is a long one? I'm pretty worried if it's more than 2, 3, 4 games.
Yeah, it's not encouraging. Four games, 5 games. I think, did you tweet it or was it in the Discord? You were saying he probably needs to be fit for 10 of the last 15. And I'd agree with that because, you know, yesterday, the Swansea game was fine as it was, but every game isn't going to be as easy as that. So to lose Bamford would be just something you don't really need.
Yeah, I think we can cope without him in some games. I think it's the odd game. It's probably fine. It's not like we haven't won games this season without Bamford starting. So it's possible. It's just we know that we were functioning a lot better both in and out of possession with Bamford in the team. So I would much rather have him fit and available. Like I said, I think I have said it in both the Discord and Twitter various groups and stuff. I think he's fit for like 10 of the last 14 or 9 of the last 14. Probably got a really good chance of getting from ultimate rather than having to go through those disgusting playoffs. But yes, we are actually in a good position, obviously. We beat Swansea comfortably. Listen to that. It is already out, the review. So please go and do that first if you haven't already. And unfortunately, we don't have an opposition fan to speak to. But we'll dive straight into the analysis of Plymouth, which I'm sure quite a lot of our listeners probably know a bit about already because we've seen them so many times this season. Yeah, I'll start with you, Martin. Can you discuss some of their recent results and form? Has anything changed recently? Important to note, they have got a new manager and we have faced him once.
Yeah, so the recent fixtures, obviously we've played them twice in the past month, and I believe the new manager was in charge for both of these games. I think it was early January that he came in. So,
yeah, the 5th of January.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like much has changed with regards to Plymouth. I think they've got a pretty small squad, and the first teams are pretty much their main squad that they always play in both of the FA Cup games. It was, nearly the exact same lineup on both games. And in regards to the recent fixtures, in the past 10 league games, they've won 3 games, drawn 5, and lost 2. So it's actually, they've had a pretty good run for a club of where they are in the league. And they've had some tough games in there and some more around their level sort of games. They've beat Swansea recently, and they beat Cardiff, and then the last one before that was Rotherham. And the two games that they lost in this run have been against Southampton and Sunderland. So they've probably lost the games which they maybe will have been expecting to lose, and being competitive in all the rest, really. They had a 3-3 draw against Watford and a 1-1 draw against Huddersfield, a 3-3 draw against Birmingham. So lots of goals in lots of these games. 2-2 against Cardiff, 2-2 against Coventry. So yeah, it's a mixed bag, but for them, I think they'll probably be quite happy with their recent results, getting up quite a few points and the odd three here and there. So yeah, I'm sure they're going to be quite happy with their recent performance.
I think with Ipswich, Norwich, up there with those sides, Plymouth have actually seen like the most goals in their games at both ends. They score quite a bit and they concede quite a bit. So it could be quite entertaining in that sense. And yeah, just in my notes, since Ian Foster took charge, they've won 3, drew and lost 2, albeit one of those wins was in the FA. And actually, their recent form is where they've maybe suffered a little bit, 1-2 defeats, including actually when we beat them very recently at Home Park 4-1. But Will, how I'm putting you on the spot a bit here, but how worried are you about them at home? Because I do note that they've got the third worst away record in the Championship with 1 win, 6 draws, and 9 defeats, but the 10th best home record with 8 wins, 4 draws, and only 3 defeats, actually. It was quite worrying. Are you worried about them in that sense a little bit more than you have been in the away games, or are you still taking, you know, plenty from that 4-1 win we got recently?
I think we should still be fine. Yeah, it's bizarre, I think, when a team is so split between home and away form. I think comparing to the most recent FA Cup game, I listened to the Green and White Argyle Life podcast, and they were saying they've got quite a few players coming back. So they were a bit happy with that, because like Divine, on loan from Spurs, was cup tied. So I think that's something to look out for, is he's a good player. Their attack, I think, is for a sort of middling Championship team is quite impressive, to have Hardy, Whittaker and Devine all at once. So look out for them, but we should be all right.
So you're quite confident. But can you talk a little bit more about their setup for me in possession? They have actually changed shape, I note, from earlier in the season when they had Steven Schumacher, where they were playing more of a 4-3-3. They're now playing more of a 3-4-3 or 3-4-2-1. Is that how you've got it as well?
Yeah, I'd have it in the way that, who else does it? When they have kind of the 3-4-2-1, they're kind of 2 tens.
Ipswich.
Yeah, rather than wingers necessarily. So Devine and Whittaker can drift out wide, but they don't necessarily start there. Quite happy to go relatively direct to the channels, basically, rather than, I think Hardy, he's not the biggest striker, but I was quite impressed with his ability to hold the ball up and compete physically that way. So they look, and Whittaker's 6'1", is he 6'2"? He's quite tall as well. So, yeah, in the games I'd watched, they're quite happy to, you know, sometimes it's a nice passing move or they'll look to slow the game down. But equally, if there's an opportunity there, they just go direct and try and win a second ball or something like that. The wing backs are quite important. Mumba, who I don't think will play left wing back against us, but in, I forget which one it was, Cardiff or Huddersfield, he was playing left wing back and he doesn't have a left foot, which was baffling to see someone so almost as one-sided as Gruev. But yeah, they're mostly direct. They don't particularly care about having possession for long periods of time.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. They definitely look to go quite direct to Whittaker, free him up. And I think in both systems from earlier in the season and now, that has been one of the main goals. And he's a player that really does thrive in chaos. And they don't mind having it be quite transitional like that. I think that's definitely to look out for. And that's probably why there's a lot of XG and shots given away by them and also for them, because it's going to turn over quite a bit. Martin, have you got anything to add there? Or would you like to talk to me a little bit more about them out of possession?
I think Will covered them quite well in possession. I think in some games they can dominate the ball a bit more. I think five games would have had over 60% possession, but that was against teams who are even more ball averse than they are. So Rotherham and Millwall and Birmingham and Preston. So we know what those sides are like. They're what teams in the league who look to possess the ball the least. Maybe that's changed a bit with Birmingham since when Rooney came in briefly. Sorry, that's made me giggle again. But yeah, regards to their out of possession, obviously, like you mentioned, 3-4-3 shape, and they do like to have men in the opposition half, but it's not really much of a high press, especially when the team has the ball in their own build up. They will more look to block passing lanes in central areas and try to force the opponent to the wider areas, which is something we're quite comfortable doing. So it's not going to assume it's an issue for us. And then after the opponent gets there, they'll sit back into like a 5-4-1. So you end up with five players who are defending the box and four players reading the box in front. So they're quite a hard team to break down when they do go into that low block, as we found out in both the recent FA Cup games. We did struggle for long periods, and it was only when we brought on our elite attackers against tired players that we really saw through in that 4-1 win. And so, yeah, their fans will be maybe quite confident that they can frustrate us, especially at their home grounds. But they've got a relatively strong out-of-possession approach, especially against us, it seems. But most of their games this season have had quite a lot of goals, like has been mentioned. So it's quite interesting against us that they've largely been able to keep the score lines quite low, at least until extra time in that cup game.
You talked about, both of you, the sort of wing-backs and wingers and how much width they play with. But Martin, you were talking about how they press there. Would you say they funnel the ball more centrally, or would you say they keep it sort of out wide? Because I know that they've got players like JB and Forshaw in the midfield, which is interesting from our perspective. But in the past, they obviously had three midfielders, and now they've actually only got two. So I wondered, do they tend to try to get the ball and win it back in sort of the wide areas or more central areas?
It's generally close to the line when they look to try to win the ball and get it forward quickly from there, try to get the wing-backs involved quickly, because that's where a lot of their in wide areas come from, is from the wing-backs, like Will mentioned. So yeah, they do look to block passing lanes in the centre and try to win it in wider areas, so funnel out to the wide areas. That's probably the more common approach. And also with regards to the wing backs, when sometimes the wing backs do get involved in the forward press, but it won't be both wing backs at the same time. So as the opponent will move the ball to one side, the wing backs will push up onto a player, whether that be an advanced full back or a winger who's deep to aid in possession.
Lovely. And Will, are you expecting much different from the recent games we've had against them? I know you've watched quite a bit of them because you are a big Darko JB fan, aren't you?
Yes. I don't think it'll be too different. We'll probably dominate the ball. As Martin said, they're quite happy to not rush to win it back at times. I just think with Devine coming back in, that gives him a little bit more transitional threat. But, you know, he's good, but we have good defenders. If Rodon and Ampadu have a good game, I wouldn't be too fearful of him.
Yeah, and Martin, is it the same view? Is it just like a case of they might play a slightly stronger team with the likes of Devine coming back in for this game than the last one we saw against them, where they probably did have a slightly weaker team than what they've been able to field out recently?
Yeah, I'd agree with what Will said there. It's probably going to be largely the same sort of way that they look to approach us. Being one of the teams in the league, they will look to sit back deeper than they would do against other sides. I think even with them being at home, that will probably still be the case. We saw that in the pub game at their ground. So I would expect that to still stay the same, but then maybe just that little bit more effective in putting that plan into action with a quality player in the midfield area maybe, and with Devine in the forward area as well.
Awesome. I'm going to ask you both a bit more about players now then, individuals. Obviously, I think a name that a lot of people have heard about is Morgan Whittaker. Do either of you want to talk to me a bit about him and how he is so key to their team?
Yeah, he's very good on the ball. He, for someone that has a frame as large as he does, not that he's huge, but he's more of a physical presence than a typical championship winger in the way that Somerville or Jack Clark can cause issues. Physically very capable. He's definitely their star man, as seen by all the bids they were receiving for him, or interest at least.
Yep.
Yeah, European teams, and you think, you know, a player receiving that kind of attention, they've definitely got a bit about them.
Anyone else besides Darko JB caught your eye that you like? I know you said Hardy earlier.
Yeah, Hardy, I'm a fan of. I think he, for a team that have just been promoted for League One, I think Plymouth, in general, they're quite well run. A lot of the players are not necessarily standing out, but very functional for a middling championship team. So to have put that together is impressive.
Martin, do you want to talk about anyone that's caught your eye, or do you want to talk about some issues perhaps that we might be able to exploit?
So regards to players who are like, I do like Bali Mumba, especially when he's playing on his favoured right side. So yeah, he's one who does do a lot for them in wider areas, and he's been helpful to get to progress the ball up the field quite often. Most often through ball carrying, he's quite dangerous as a ball carrier. So if given space, he'll definitely look to attack it with the ball at his feet. And like Will mentioned about Whittaker, he's definitely their key man when it comes to scoring goals. He's easily got the most shots for them. He's had 117 shots this season, and the one behind him is Ryan Hardy with 72. And Ryan Hardy is a quote-unquote striker for the side, but Whittaker is the one who's been most of the goal threat, and he is quite good at doing that and very dangerous. We saw that in the Cup, that he had that one chance. It was a very easy one because it was a pretty much open goal in that set-piece situation, but he can definitely find the back of the net, so he's one who we do need to keep an eye on. Regards to their defenders, they've got probably quite low-end players for this division, and they're quite a young team overall, not a lot of experience in the side. But one of the ones who is best in their back line is it Phillips who they've got?
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
On loan from Spurs.
That's right, yeah. He was very impressive in the Cup game, just really defended their box very well. And it was only when our Mutter and Cree came on where he was starting to really tire, and no one's going to defend well against a fresh Mutter and Cree. So yeah, he's the best one out of their back line, but I think the best at the rest of the back line is probably quite weak defensively, both side wing backs. And we can definitely give set them individually. Our players should be able to do well against them. But yeah, that's about all I can think of regards to individual players that hasn't been mentioned.
Yeah, hard to disagree. I think it's quite interesting the way Plymouth have sort of tried to take the championship model and the identity that they're trying to build as a club, mostly young players with resale value, buying and developing them. And I think the appointment of Ian Foster makes a lot of sense in that sense. He coached that has managed at various England youth levels, and then quite funnily enough he came in January and basically signed a load of England under 19 and under 21 internationals, which he probably coached quite a bit. One being Phillips, I was going to mention him myself. I was pretty impressed with him actually for 90 minutes in the game against us. I thought he was pretty good box defender, decent physically, competed well, not, you know, too slow either. But yeah, it was when he struggled towards the end when you bring on two elite attackers with fresh legs, it's not ideal for him, but he played pretty well. But yeah, I agree. I think a lot of their players, not the best at playing out from the back or defence in the sort of defensive areas, including their wing backs, they're not all that comfortable. A lot of them are either wingers that have been made into wing backs, so they're not the best defenders, or a lot of them are full backs that have been made into wing-backs, and they're not the most comfortable with the ball. So it's like a bit of a mixture, really. So, yeah, there definitely going to be ways, in my opinion. But do either of you want to have a stab at a predicted lineup? I note that they haven't changed too much recently, and they're back sort of three in the goalkeeper. But it's been in midfield where they've had to chop and change. I know Forsham went off in the last game. He might be injured. Not 100% certain on that. But I'll start with you, Martin. Do you have a sort of rough lineup, or Will to do it?
No, I can have it. And if I get anything wrong, Will can correct me. But I think it'll most likely be Conor Hazard in goal. He's another player who I forgot to mention in the last part. He did very well in the games that we played recently, pulled out a number of good saves. And then in front of him, the back line, Phillips on the right side with Gibson in the middle and Galloway on the left side of the back three. And the midfield in the wing-back spots on the left, we'll probably see either Lino Souza or, forget the other guy's name.
Miller.
Yeah.
Miller. So, you forgot in the last pod that we did of this.
I keep forgetting. I apologise to you. I keep forgetting your name. And then on the other side will most likely be Ballymumba. Although I note that I don't think he started in the last game. So I'm not sure if he...
No, he didn't against Coventry.
Yeah, he came off the bench. So that's another thing there to keep an eye on. And then the midfields... it depends on who is fit. If he's fit, you'd probably imagine Forshaw will start. He's definitely their most comfortable player on the ball in deeper areas. But his age and putting up Adam Forshaw against Rutter, try to defend him when he's dropping deep, does not seem like the best idea. But to be honest, not many midfielders can cope with Rutter. Fair. And then the other options I've got in midfield is Randall and JB. But is JB on loan or did they sign him permanently? I can't remember.
He's on loan, so he can't. He's not eligible. Yeah. Sorry, Will.
No, that's fine. And then the other ones who could play...
Horton or Edmonds, I've got written down.
And then in the front line, it's most likely to be... Maybe Alfie Devine, he started in the last game, so I maybe expect him to continue that. Ryan Hardy up front and Whittaker on the other side.
Do you agree with that, Will? That's pretty much what I've got as well. It's the sentiment thing that might change a little bit with JB out or Forshaw potentially out.
Yeah, the only possible one was right wing back, Sorinola, possibly. Relatively new signing. I'd seen Plymouth fans saying he had a good game. Or I can't remember which one it was, but it made a good sort of first impression since signing in January. So maybe him. But I think he started against Coventry. So if they're going to look to rotate possibly, then maybe not, which is sitting on the fence a bit, but you know.
That's fine. Yeah, that's the area they've definitely rotated the most. The other one they might put in is Pleguezuelo at centre-back. I think he's missing games recently because his partner had a child or something. So that's why he missed. I think that's the end of this section of the podcast, which brings me nicely into talking about the Patreon. Now, if you are a Patreon listener, you do not have to listen to this part. It's just for the non-patrons who we want to get to subscribe. Just to let everyone know, Patreon is a media platform where you can support content creators that you enjoy and get extra content in return. Our patrons get access for as little as $1.99 per month, which gives you ad-free podcasts. And if you want to pay a little bit more, you get other benefits, including early access to our preview pods, such as the one you're listening to right now, analysis articles, videos, and other bonus podcasts. We have three tiers in total. Martin, can you talk to me a little bit about which those are?
Yeah, so the lowest tier is the Berardi tier, which is $1.99, and that basically gets you free podcasts and also just to maybe just contribute to the podcast. So that's the most basic one. And then you've got the Click tier for $3.99, which also gives you ad-free podcasts and early access to the preview pod where possible. There is sometimes when it's a very tight turnaround that we can't really offer much of early access, but we do try to do it wherever we can. And then the tier is the Pablo tier for $4.99, and that's where you get access to all the stuff that we do. So all the ad-free podcasts, early access as well, and then access to the analysis articles and videos and bonus podcasts. So we'd really recommend the Pablo tier for you to get the most bang for your buck.
Absolutely agree with that. And if you want to sign up, where can they look, Will?
patreon.com/ASAW Patreon.
Fantastic. And that brings us to the end of that. We'll get back on into the analysis of Leeds United now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So who wants to talk to me a little bit about injuries? We know that Dallas is out. We know that Strouk's out. And the recent news on that was that we're not going to risk him for a little bit longer now. I think Farkas said a week ago that it was going to be another 2 weeks. And then this week he said, actually, no, it's probably going to be the next international break, which is towards the back end of March, which seems sensible to me if he is at risk of doing anything longer term. But I guess the big one is probably Patrick Bamford, as we mentioned. Is there anyone else, or is that everything?
That sounds like everything. I think
that's it.
Yeah. I think Dan James has come back now, so he's another one who is in contention for this game, which is good news for us. An extra attacker who
absolutely
is doing very well, and he won the PFA Player of the Month for us, didn't he?
He did, although I think it's a bit of a disgrace, to be honest, that Ilya Gruev or someone like that didn't win. I think that he had an absolutely outstanding month. There was a lot of good performers in January, wasn't there? Considering we won all but one game, and it was actually against Plymouth. So speaking of, we've now won 9 of the last 10 with one draw, and that was to Plymouth. But how do we think we will approach this game in possession? Does anyone expect anything different to the reverse fixture? All the recent FA Cup ties at all. I'll start with you, Will.
No, basically. I don't see a reason to change anything because what we're doing at the moment is working. Yeah,
it's been the same answer that all season. We haven't actually changed. Farkas pretty much stuck to his principles, apart from when he brought Bamford in. So I guess that's a question, Martin. Do you think it'll be a little bit different to the Swansea game midweek with Pirro having to play up front? Can you talk to me a bit more about him being a 9?
So, yeah, I think before the Swansea game, I probably would have said that maybe Repair would have probably gone back up front. But given how well he did in the Swansea game as a 9, I think performance game as a 9. So I would maybe not expect anything different. I would expect Rotter to still start at 10 because he'd been so effective, is the way I put it, in that spot. So I don't expect him to be moved. So no, I think the possession side of things will be largely the same. And just to quickly move on to the out of possession, I would also say the same. It's not like it's changed too much. But the press maybe that little bit less intense, because although Pro was decent out of possession against Swansea, he's still not as good as what Bamford is. So they may decide to operate more of a mid-press. But Plymouth can be got out with a press, so it wouldn't surprise me if it is a full-on press. So we'll see what the energy level's like. There's a lot of games recently, so it could well be that will affect things as well.
Yeah, I think they are probably a team we can create quite a few artificial transitions quickly against to try and attack them, because they are not the best at dealing with those. They do actually have a decent amount of speed in their team. It's more just they leave so many open spaces. So, yeah, hopefully they do more of that. Do you think there'll be any changes to the out-of-possession approach to what Martin's just said there, Will? Or do you think it's going to largely be the same as what he's just said with Pirro and Root?
No, I think that all makes sense. Getting after them because, yeah, they're not the best on the ball makes sense. Besides that, I don't think there's anything more to add.
And is there a player you can see having a big impact on the outcome of the game from our perspective? Let's do like players that might have a good impact on the game first, Will.
Leeds players.
Yes.
I'd look at just keeping Whittaker quiet, essentially, because I think if you stop Whittaker, you stop Plymouth, which is maybe a bit reductive and all that. But yeah, I'd look at... see, he normally plays on the right, doesn't he? So Ampadu. Gruev might be very useful, kind of sweeping up loose ends, as he's proven very useful at times. If they can have a good performance, as I don't doubt they will, I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, I'm a little bit concerned by that side as well with Firpo. I think Andrew might have to do a little bit transitional defending or be really tight with their rest defence in that sense. But yeah, certainly. Martin, are there any attacking players from our perspective that you are particularly excited to see attacking at Plymouth?
Well, in his recent form, Nonto, I think he definitely had his best performance against Swansea. He was absolutely electric in that game. And if he's playing as good as that, he's definitely full of confidence at the moment. I mean, his first goal, that was superb, superb goal. It's the way he just quickly chopped it back and then hit it with his other foot. That was his weaker foot that he hit that one, I believe. Or was that the second? I'm trying to think back. No, it was his right foot for the first one, left foot for the second. Sorry, ignore that. But yeah, either way, it's a player who's full of confidence at the moment. And the left-sided wing-back they've got, whether it's Porinola or Miller, either one of those will have a very tough game playing against him. He's been very good, not just when he's got the ball at his feet, but also penetrating space and making good runs. So he's been a nightmare for fullbacks to handle, and also their offside centre back on that side will also have a lot of time to help in that battle as well. And I believe it's Phillips on the right hand side of their defence. So I don't really rate
it. Is, yeah.
I don't really rate the chances of the other side of centre back dealing with Nonto in the form that he's in at the moment. But then, of course, the rest of the attacking line is all just as good at the moment. So it's going to be a fun game for Plymouth, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think there's definitely issues for them with the outside centre-backs and how they're going to deal with Somerville and Nonto. They get free and are sort of attacking the box and isolating one of them. That is definitely a recipe for disaster for them, especially because I really don't rate Galloway, and he scored against us. Of course he did, but I think he's pretty awful. So if Nonto can isolate him, that is definitely going to be a good way to go for us. I think that's basically it. The only position I'm particularly worried about, and I think you both agree, is probably Firpo against Whittaker. But like we mentioned, hopefully he has a little bit more support, or maybe he doesn't get forward quite as much if he's having to look over his shoulder at what's in behind him in transition. But that's about it. I think the big area for me that's going to matter as well is the midfield battle. And I think we can dominate. We've got the extra man advantage there, and we've also got just a lot more quality on the ball. So hopefully we can just keep them pinned. But yes. Shall we move on to predicted lineup talk? How much do we think is going to change? Is there going to be any chance, Will, do you think, of Connor Roberts potentially getting a full debut rather than coming off the bench? Or is he going to stick with Archie Gray again because he absolutely loves
him? I'd like Roberts to start, I think. But then, as you say, he loves Gray. And Farker doesn't seem particularly bothered about rotation in general. So it might well be... I forget, who have we got after Plymouth? Maybe that would be the game for...
Leicester.
Okay, maybe that isn't the game to start a new fullback. Yes, I would like him to start against Plymouth so that we've seen from the start how does Roberts fit, and then for the Leicester game the week after, kind of have options there. That would be nice.
I'll throw a bit of a curveball at you, Martin. How much would you like to see Roberts play at left back, considering he'd be defending against Whittaker on his left foot and Roberts would be defending him on his right foot?
Yeah, I would be very much up for that. He's definitely capable of playing in both fullback spots. And Firpo has played a fair amount of games, and we could really deal with not having him injured too, since Byram's, that's another one who we forgot about, is actually currently injured at the moment. So, yeah, I would maybe like to leave Firpo out of this one and just give Roberts his first start, because I'm sure he's more than ready to start. He's not played too much football recently, so he'll be definitely eager to start. And he will have had a few training sessions by now. And if it's going to be any game to start him in recently, it's probably this one where we are quite dominant in comparison to the opposition. And I definitely wouldn't like to throw Roberts in at the deep end straight against Leicester. Although I do rate him, I would really prefer some of a player who is more comfortable with our possession and our possession approach to defend against a side as strong as Leicester. So, yeah, I would definitely like to see Robert start in this game and potentially at left back.
Do you think he's likely?
Probably not. but if any game that is likely for him to rotate, it's quite potentially this one, because of how big the next game is that's coming up for us. And it just make it.
Do either of you want to tell me what you predict the lineup to be then? Or are we thinking it's going to be unchanged and we don't really need to go over it?
I think it's most likely going to be unchanged. I'm not sure if Will thinks differently.
No, I can't see that. It's one or two full-back spots. And besides that, yeah, Farker throughout the whole season plays his team, essentially.
Yeah, he does. Although Dan James is back, but I do think he will be on the bench. I can't see Nonto getting dropped after that performance. Definitely his best performance in a lead shirt, I would say. I guess that brings us on nicely to what do we expect, watching this game of football will look like. Will, you go first, please, my friend.
I think it'll be not as easy as Swansea. I think it's likely we might concede. I'll say might. But we should still be better. We have better players. It should be fun. Galloway, as you said, isn't a fantastic player. So if Nunto can carry on his performance from Swansea, enjoy that. That'd be exciting. Yeah, attackers being fun and defenders being doing their job. Nice. More of the same, basically, please.
And Martin, what do you expect it to look like?
Yeah, pretty much what Will said there. We'll definitely dominate possession and Plymouth will look to hit us in transition and try to get set pieces where they can. That's one thing we'd have shown in recent games against us that they can score. So we need to be very wary of set pieces. That will be the main area where they'll look to hit us, as well as transition. And yeah, see the previous two games and I'm expecting a very, very similar game to both of those.
I have to say, I think that they'll give us more of a game than the Swansea one. I think that Swansea basically were always going to play into our hands. That's the matchup it looked like, and then that is actually what transpired, whereas I don't think Plymouth are necessarily going to do that as much, and I do think they can catch us out in transition, and that's where I'm a little bit worried as well. I think they'll try and make the most of that when they can. We did keep Whittaker quiet in the last game, but who knows in this one. I guess, where do you expect the game to be won or lost then, Martin?
Well, we've seen for the past two games that just scoring first isn't enough to the job done, especially not in 90 minutes, which is what all we've got in this. So we need to not only score the first goal, we also need to follow it up quickly with a second. We need to try to shut this game down quicker to stop us from dropping points, because I'm not too worried about losing, but there is definitely potential that we draw this if we don't take advantage while we are ahead. So that's definitely the thing which I think will bode well for us if we do manage to do the same thing that we did against Swansea and score a couple of quick goals in the first half. That would really help us a lot, settle us down and not worry us that the same thing is going to happen, that we go ahead and then they score their goal to equalise and they take on a point. We don't want that.
Yeah, we've won 15 and drawn twice when scoring first this season. So, Will, do you think that's going to be where the game's more lost for you, if we score first?
Yeah, score first and then just limit their transition threat. If we can control the game, I'm not too worried.
Well, fantastic then, guys. Yep, I'm pretty much there, and I hope that we do manage to tick this one off. It's the last one before Leicester, and this will be 8 league wins in a row if we manage to get it. So let's hope that we do. We still have quite a lot of games coming up in this month. I think it calms down a bit in March, but please do go head on over and check out our Patreon. Just a quick reminder for the website for that. That is Martin.
Patreon.com/ASAW Patreon.
Lovely. And we'll be back with a review of this game soon and a preview ahead of Leicester. And I think it's Chelsea after that, isn't it? So exciting times. But all that's left for me to say is thank you very much to Martin.
Thank you as well, Adam.
And thank you very much to Will.
Thank you, Adam.
And thank you, dear listeners. Enjoy the game. It's on Sky at 12:30. Goodbye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.